We thank you, we love you, be thou exalted. All praise, all honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise God. Yeah, we thank God for another opportunity to study at His feet this evening. Last week we were looking at the ministry of prayer, and we were able to see how important prayer is to the life of a believer and how we should pray. There is how to pray. The Bible says you pray and you don't receive because you ask amiss. The problem is not that people don't pray. People pray. But a lot of people pray wrongly. You can pray and actually be praying the wrong way. You see people move from one mountain to the other. People go by the beach side. People, you know, do all kind of things in commitment to prayer. But at times, they do it wrongly. Praise God. We are going to be looking at the same topic today, the ministry of prayer. We are going to be looking at, you know, three reasons why the devil wants to stop you from praying. One of the greatest assignment or desire of the enemy or of the devil is to hinder your prayer life. The devil can succeed to get anything into your life, even as a believer, if he takes away your prayer life. If the devil is able to interrupt your prayer life, he can make you fail. He can cause a lot of obstacle on your way, on your path. And you see, the disciples took prayer very serious, especially in the early church. That was why, for them, prayer was like a priority. Prayer was one of the things that they must do. The book of Acts chapter 6 verse 4, they said, "It is good that we give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer." They were praying people. They were people who gave themselves fully unto prayer. Praise God. And that was why they succeeded. The book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. They would not have had the Acts of the Apostles if there were no prayer of the Apostles. The reason we have the Acts means the doings, the miracles God wrought through their hands, the testimonies they have, the power of God that worked through this man, what was all that we have recorded in the book of Acts, and we call it the Acts of the Apostles. But the secret of the Acts of the Apostles, if you check last week, I show you in Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted." That is the secret behind the Acts of the Apostles. The secret is that now, if you look at from Acts chapter 1 to chapter 6, if you go until Apostle Paul emerged in the picture, they didn't know so much, but they prayed so much. They didn't know so much. When they went into the temple in Acts chapter 3, they met a man that was sitting by the gate called the Beautiful Gate. And they were going, actually, the Bible called the hour of prayer. They were going to pray. So, prayer was an habitual attitude of the disciples. They didn't know so much. As at that time, Peter was still preaching and still thinking salvation is designed only for the Jews. They didn't know so much about spiritual gifts. They didn't know so much about salvation. They didn't even know so much about the Holy Spirit. It was Paul that came and began to teach them certain dimensions, certain level of understanding, starting from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You see how he taught the church of Corinthians about the gift of the Spirit. He taught about the Holy Ghost. Even Peter didn't know so much. That was why he was surprised when he was giving his experience in the house of Cornelius. He said, "As I was speaking to them, the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden, came upon them." He said, without the baptism, so it was a mystery unto him that how can the Holy Ghost come upon the Gentiles? They didn't know so much, but they prayed so much. You can see some of our fathers in faith, some of the things we know today, they didn't know. But they are praying people. I was reading about Smith Wigglesworth. Andrew Womack wrote about him. He said some of the things that the body of Christ teach today, men like Smith Wigglesworth didn't know these things, but they had something. They were committed to what we call the prayer of faith. They were praying people. Even some of our fathers in Nigeria, in the CNS, one of the things that gave some of our fathers an edge, they wrought miracles. They did wonderful. They didn't know so much like we know, but they were men given to prayers. They were men giving to prayers. Some of them, they will bring food for them to eat. They want to pray on the food. Just let's bless food. 4 hours, they are still praying. It's not that they are trying to impress anybody. The spirit of prayer got hold of them. If we pray like they have prayed, the kind of result. And so if you look at the results the apostles generated in the book of Acts, you'll be surprised. The secret is in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. Let's look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. The secret of the dealings, supernatural dealings of God through the apostles. Look at it. Acts chapter 6. I would like to take it, probably because of our time, from verse... let's take it from verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is the secret. This is why we have all the records of miracles, all the testimonies, the supernatural healings, the things that happened through the hands of the apostles. People like Philip literally disappeared in a place and appeared in another place. They were men given to prayer. Praise God. Now you begin to see that they followed the example of Jesus. They were distracted with church, in quotes, church activities. People need to eat. At a point they came to their senses. They said, no, let's appoint 12 people. Let's appoint 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So they appoint people to take care of administrative and menial things, distribution of food, and they dedicated themselves. See, if you want to generate any good results in your lifetime, in your ministry, in your career, you must be a man of prayer. Must be a man of prayer. So this is the secret. This is how they started this from Acts. As soon as the Holy Ghost came upon them, their prayer life transformed. Their prayer life just went up. And so if you look all through, as soon as the Holy Ghost came upon them in Acts chapter 2, they were praying when an entire city gathered. They were praying, literally praying in tongues. And from there, the Bible says, according to the hour of prayer, they went into the temple to pray. And they met a man by the gate. Praise God. I pray on unusual happenings will happen through our life, through the ministry of prayer in the name of Jesus. If you are saying amen, let your amen be the loudest. And so, now, I want us to look at few things. Few reasons why at all cost the enemy want to stop you from praying. At all cost, the devil is threatened. The devil is so fearful anytime a believer attempts to pray. Not even when you start praying. That's why when you want to pray, you see a lot of distractions coming your way. All of a sudden, you just remember you need to call somebody. All of a sudden, you just remember somebody that you need. Okay, let me call this person. Before you know it, your phone is ringing. Why is it that it is when you are about to intensify your spirit in prayer that somebody who had not called you for 3 months remembered to call you? The devil wants to put all, he wants to deploy all his devices to stop a believer from praying. Look at what happened. The same Acts of the Apostles. The Bible says, and Herod took James. The church kept quiet, waiting for God's intervention. And the Bible says, and Herod killed James. Meaning, you know, the church permitted the killing of James. Why? They didn't pray. Listen to me. You will permit the enemy to do anything in your life when you keep quiet in the place of prayer. So it was not in God's design that James should die. So the church was waiting on God, and God was waiting on the church. God is waiting on us to pray. Now, you may not have heard this before, but I want to shock you. God cannot and will not do anything on earth until there's a man to pray. It doesn't matter how many people are being killed. It doesn't matter the number of people that are dying per day, until there is a man to stand as an intercessor. Because God will not break spiritual protocols. Why? He said, I have given you authority. So God will not come and help you use the authority He's given to you on earth. Because as this terrestrial world is concerned, man is in charge. So for God to effect a change, to cause a revival, to bring about healing, or to bring about an economic transformation, there must be a man praying it into reality. A man prayed for a nation. I can't remember if it was Holland or Scotland. It was Scotland. It was not too many. One man prayed. He prayed for Scotland, that the Lord should give him Scotland, that the Lord should restore Scotland and deliver Scotland. A woman said, he said, I fear his prayer more than the entire army of England. The queen said so. That the prayer is 5 minutes prayer. Now, these men have pushed. They have pushed in the place of prayer, that his strength in prayer cannot be compared to an army of a nation. You can push to that point in prayer, that your prayer can hold the army of a nation captive. Praise God. And so, if you look at all these generals, all these apostles, they were men given to a life of prayer. Praise God. And so, now, I want you to see this. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible says, after he took James and had James and killed James, he saw that the Jews were happy about it. Can I talk to you? Anytime you keep quiet in the place of prayer, you give the enemy a reason to rejoice. Anytime you don't pray as a believer, anytime the church of the Lord keeps quiet, they have just given the enemy an opportunity to rejoice. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, it says, and when Peter was taken and was kept in the prison, the church came together and make intercessions. So if the same intercession was made for James, the same angel that went into the prison to deliver Peter would have delivered James. But because the church, it means angels are waiting for us all the time to manifest our priesthood ministry on earth, and they are discharged into work. Because the Bible says these angels have been given for them to minister for the saints. That's the assignment. So our priesthood ministry, every believer has the priesthood ministry of prayer. So our priesthood ministry is what deploys angels into work. So the Bible says, as the church, at the angel did not go out of sympathy to rescue Peter. Did not go because Peter was anointed. The angel did not go because Peter was the leader of the people. The angel was deployed because the church prayed. And the Bible says, and the angel went where Peter was tied amidst two soldiers. And chains dropped, chains that were padlocked and fetters dropped up from his hand. And the Bible says, Peter was as though he was in a dream when he was rescued. That's what prayer. Now, you cannot place a value on what prayer can do in your life. Prayer is like a network transmission. You can be here praying here in Ibadan. You are praying, and you need somebody to do something for you in Abuja. It's like dialing his line, his number. If he's in Abuja, as soon as you dial his number, what will happen? His number, his phone will ring. That is how prayer is. There's a way prayer steer the hearts of people to do things they would not ordinarily have done if the person that needs their help have not prayed. Prayer. How many of you remember that it was when Mordecai asked the entire Jew to pray? When Haman planned his death, and he knew Haman was going to kill him and kill the entire Jews, they asked all the Jews, including Queen Esther, to fast and pray. Now, it was in their prayer that the heart of the king was stirred up, that the king could not sleep. Mordecai led the entire Jews in prayer. So all this while that Mordecai was at the entrance of the palace, there was something for him inside of the palace, until an occasion came that made him pray. The king did not remember him. Prayer. So when the church prayed, Peter was rescued. Peter was delivered. Now let me show you three reasons why, write this down, three reasons the devil wants to interrupt your prayer. These are the three reasons why the devil wants to stop you from praying at all costs. He will deploy all his arsenals, all his devices, all his tricks to ensure that even when you say, okay, by 12 p.m. I'm going to pray, it's when it's about 12 p.m. that all of a sudden, they have brought light. Let me quickly iron my clothes before they will take light. He will put everything, all kind of distractions in place. Especially this phone. That's why it's good when you want to pray, keep your phone out of your reach, such that even if it is ringing, you will not hear. It's a good way of concentrating in prayer. Number one, write it down. Number one reason why the devil wants to interrupt your prayer life. God, number one, God depends on your prayers to change the world. Write it down. God depends on your prayers to change the world. It's one of the reasons the devil knows that, because God wants to use your priesthood ministry, you stand like a priest on behalf of a nation, of a people, when you pray as a believer. Remember the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and from verse 9, ye are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. You are like a judge that pass judgment in the place of prayer. You pass judgment over situation. You pass judgment over cycle. You determine what happens when you pray. So God depends on your prayers to change. That's why in every generation God have raised watchmen. Go and check from the Old Testament. He raised Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 33. He said, I have raised you as a watchman. He raised men in every generation because he needs the ministry of men to effect change. The ministry of prayer, the priesthood ministry of believers to effect a change in the world. So, the devil knows that when you pray, the gospel will have a free course. The power of God will be made available to heal people. There will be economic transformation. There will be testimonies in the life of people. So the devil wants to stop you. Let me show you. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Very interesting. I want to show you that God depends on your prayers. That's why at times God wake you up at night and say, pray. That's why at times God will steer your heart. You are traveling, God will say, pray. God might want to do something. I remember many times, many years ago, I think, you know, where I was praying, and the Lord brought somebody's picture to me and said, pray for this person. They are about to kill him. Many years ago, I was actually studying. I was reading. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought his picture to me and said, pray for this man. They are about to kill him. If God has not found a man to pray as at that time, that man, as much as God wants to save that man, as much as God did not want him to die, if there was no man to pray as at that time, the man would have died. Are you with me now? And the Lord brought his picture to me and said, they are about to kill him. And all of a sudden, I was reading with my friends, and I closed my book and I began to pray. I deliver him from the power of death. Listen to me. 1 week later, this man came. His son came and told me, because it was thereafter I heard he had an accident. He was hospitalized, and where on his bed in the hospital, a cow, he saw the cow with his naked eye, came into the hospital to hit him. To attack him. He said he didn't know how the cow did not attack him. Why? A man prayed. We have ignored certain urge to pray and has led into certain trouble that some people, it's not about you at times, it might be somebody. The person might be close to you and might not be close to you. God depends on your prayer to help people. And so that's why you must take ownership in the place of prayer. You must take a position of somebody who is partnering with God to do something on earth when you are praying. When you have that kind of ownership and partnership mentality, there's a way it affects the way you pray and how you pray. There must be this partnership. The Bible says he has made us to become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers. Let me show you this scripture. Very important. 1 Timothy 2 and from verse 1. I exhort you therefore that first of all, these are areas where God wants to make things happen. Where he wants to effect change. Where he wants to bring transformation. Apostle Paul was now telling Timothy, these are areas you should center on when you are praying. Why? God needs your prayer to do something in those areas. Look at it. I exhort you thereof. That first of all, everybody say first of all. Talk to me, say first of all. Meaning it should be in your priority, in your list of preference. Supplications, prayers, intercession. Look at the way Apostle Paul was splitting it. And giving of thanks be made for all men. Why? God will not help men until these things happen. God, it is a spiritual principle that to deploy the supernatural, there must be a channel of prayer to convey supernatural resources unto humanity. And the channel is prayer. And if there is a man that can pray, there is a God that can answer. I exhort you therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men should be prayed for. He now began to explain. For kings, meaning decisions that affect our nation is not determined in the government house, it's determined in the place of prayer. Yeah. When we pray, we influence national decisions. He said for kings. Why? Kings make decision for the city. They make decision for the people. So, how do we influence their decision? Prayer. He said, and for all that are in authority. Why? They use their authority to make policies. They use their authority to make decisions. And so when we leave them on their own, the devil will take advantage of their position and cause evil to happen to the people. But when we pray, it is the only way to control whatever happens. Now, he says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Meaning, if we don't pray, these people will make decisions that will remove peace from people. If we don't pray, they will write out policies that will take away people's rest, that will take away people's freedom. That's why even in a time like this, listen to me, we are on top of this situation because we are praying. If there were not brethren praying, do you know what the wife of Bill Gates said? Melinda Gates. She said, I saw. She spoke like a prophet. And then you should understand that the only way to counter that is not to go and post on Facebook and say, what do you mean? Is to pray. For somebody to speak like, she said, I saw dead bodies on the street of Africa. That's a voice from hell. She prophesied it. But the only way we can stop it is when we pray. If believers have not been praying, do you know how many people have gone, you know, to grave now? It's because of our prayers. So let's stay on top praying. That's the only way we stay on top. We stay on top by prayer. We are in charge through prayer. We control circumstances. Now he says, verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now, I began to understand, as I began to study lately, I began to understand some things about prayer. There's something we call apostolic prayer. It's not prayer of God, give me job. That's a prayer of a baby Christian. Apostolic prayer is where you stand in the office as an intercessor over a nation. It's an apostolic prayer. When you pick a particular national problem and address it until there's a change. Lately, the Lord has been laying upon my heart some apostolic prayer to pray for people. Lately, the Lord laid upon my heart, He said, I should start praying for people who have insanity. There's no street you enter. Hardly in, go to a place like Cross River, even here in Ibadan, that you will not see one mad person. If somebody take that as an assignment in prayer, all of a sudden you see them getting healed without nobody helping them. The government leave them on the street. Some of them is depression that led to insanity. Some of them is disappointment that led to insanity. From disappointment, from fear, sickness, depression, they have mental disorder. Some of them is just rest they need. And all of a sudden they are on the street. After some times, they are gone out of control. So the Lord is an apostle. You must begin to move from praying for your petty needs. Move to a level of where God will depend on you to do some things. And say, if I would tell my servant, why will God tell Abraham about Sodom? He needed a man to intercede. It was the intercession of Abraham that helped Lot out of Sodom. How will I do this thing and not tell my friend Abraham? Why? Abraham was used to praying for nation. He was an apostle in the place of prayer. That's what we call, it's not putting apostle by your name that makes you an apostle. Can be apostle, you can be senior apostle, whatever apostle. What puts you in that kind of office is when you take national issue as the assignment of your life. Praise God. And now let me show you, very interesting, that God depends on the prayer of a believer to transform the world. And that's why the devil wants, one of the reasons he wants to interrupt at all costs. Because when you pray, you disrupt, you interrupt the activities of darkness. Stand in prayer. Before you know it, they can't walk. They can't even move when you pray. That's how powerful prayer is. If somebody is sent on errand, on a satanic errand, it can't go. Because in the atmosphere where you are, they can't even come near. Matthew chapter 18 and from verse 18. Matthew 18 and from verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. This is why we do prayer conference, where you gather together as believers. Because there's a scripture that gives us an advantage when we come together. He says, look at it. He said, and again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth. The devil depends on your lack of prayer to destroy the world. If God depends on your prayer to change the world, the devil depends on your lack of prayer to invade, to cause trouble, to make horrible things happen. He depends on your lack of prayer to do that. So he will do everything to keep you out of prayer. Number two reason the devil wants to interrupt you from praying. The prayer of faith is the biggest threat of the devil. That a man stand and pray is what the devil fear most. You, many of you don't know that even the devil can be afraid. Yes. Have you not read where the Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee? So anybody that flees means the person is afraid. Even the devil can be fearful. He knows what fear means. That's why he uses fear. James chapter 5. And from verse 6, very powerful. The prayer of faith, the prayer of the righteous, is the biggest threat of the devil. It's like you are bringing war to his doorstep. You are bringing war into his kingdom. Anytime believers gather to pray. Let me read to you James chapter 5. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One version says, the prayer of the righteous make tremendous things to happen. The heartfelt prayer of the righteous make unusual happenings. Cause things to happen. So where the devil is in darkness, trying to, you know, plan some accidents along the highway. Maybe one young believer is just living close to that place and start praying. Every activity of the devil around this, I stop it now. It doesn't matter his age. He might not even be a pastor. Because he's a righteous man, that accident will be averted. Do you know how many accidents did not happen because you are in the place praying? You are in the right place at the right time interceding. Do you know how many people did not die? When you get to heaven, you will see how many souls you delivered from the... Like David literally delivered a lamb from the mouth of lion. God has used our prayer to deliver many people. You don't know. Many people have been delivered because you pray. They have been set free from satanic oppression because you pray. The heartfelt prayer. The heart. He said, Elias, a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. And he prayed again. This is an apostle. in the place. He's an apostle in the place of prayer. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And listen, God is, what this scripture is saying is that you are in charge. The way Elijah took charge of a city, you can take charge of your city. He did not say, God, stop praying. He said, Elijah prayed that there should not be rain. If I be a prophet of God, let rain cease. God had to honor it. Why? Authority to control the earth is with man. So God said, let it be. He said, when he was ready to let go, he said, let there be rain. I don't know if it was Elijah or Elisha. I can't remember now. Who they came, the soldiers of Syria came to invade his city. And they heard that Elijah is the one that is leaking their secret. Because while they are planning, he's seeing what is happening. Is that, it was Elijah, right? Elisha. It was Elisha. And listen, he said, who is that? Who is telling? Who is a spy amidst us here? One of them said, there's a prophet that sees you in your secret when you are thinking, when you are planning. And the Bible says they caused armies to come. And the armies came to capture the prophet. And his servant saw it. And the servant said, my father, see these armies of Syria. They have come to take us. And he said, God, open his eyes that he may see those who are with us. Listen, when you are a man, an apostle in the place of prayer, angels are deployed. Because they know at any time you may need the assignment. Because you pray for, you don't, listen, when all you need is job, you don't need too much angels to get a job for you. All you need is just job. I want job. I want to buy. God, if I don't get new car this year, if all you need is a car. But if you stand in the place of a priest, God deploys angels on assignment, because what you are praying for is bigger than, you know, just a family praying for a city. Praise God. So the biggest threat of the devil is the prayer of faith. So that's why the devil wants to stop you from praying. And number three, let me close with this. Prayer is communication with God. And so communication really means fellowship. The devil wants to interrupt your fellowship with God. He will do anything. That's why as you open your mouth and start praying and see Handa Kafish Kotila, all of a sudden, the phone that didn't ring before you were praying, all of your phone is starting ringing. This will just start happening to take you out, because you are about to go into fellowship. And when you are in fellowship with God, when you are in koinonia, in unity with Him, there's an addition on your life. How many of you will agree with me that when you spend time in prayer, when you are living, you know there's a plus on your spirit. Yeah, you know you feel the weight on your spirit. Not the prayer that you pray and be looking at time. The prayer where you are concentrated, you feel the weight of God's presence on your spirit, and the devil wants to stop that from happening at all costs. He wants to do anything. The apostles understand that feeling when they say, let's give ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the word. Why? When they do that, prayer is not just, you don't pray because you have a need or because there's a need in somebody's life. You pray because you are in fellowship with God. That is why prayer is a thing you must do every day. You must be, there's an investment you must make on your life every day by praying. Prayer draws you close. Prayer brings you into the place of fellowship with God. And when you are in fellowship with God, do you know what happens? Divine presence rubs on you. That's why Moses, after 40 days of fellowship, he was not looking like a normal man again. After 40 days of fellowship in the presence of God, the Bible says he came down and no man could look into his eyes. I mean, if you remember in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountain of transfiguration to pray. The Bible says, as he was praying, as he began to pray, his countenance changed. His garment changed. Do you think the devil wants you to have that kind of experience? No wonder anywhere Jesus entered, demons will start shouting, please. Why? He carried an unusual presence. It didn't just happen. He spent time in prayer. The Bible says, and Jesus departed to a solitary place to pray at night. And so when he come during the day, demons are the ones shouting, don't come near. Today you see believers struggling with demons. In the name of Jesus, out, enter, go, release, declare, decree, and nothing happens. Beloved, I want to steer you up to pray. God depends on your prayer. I think I want you to go home with this. He depends on your prayer to change your world. And if you will not pray, don't blame God. Today, a lot of people are angry with God. They blame God for their predicament. But they should blame themselves. They blame God. God, why? God, why? God, do something. God is telling you, do something. Pray. The Bible says, pray about. Let me show you somewhere in the book of Philippians. Let me close with this. It says, pray about everything. Pray about all things. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Meaning, don't be anxious. Don't be carried away by anxiety. Don't allow worry to come upon you. Meaning, be careful. That be careful for nothing means don't allow worry. He now went further. But in everything by prayer. In how many things? And supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And verse 7 say, and the peace, what we follow, after praying about all things, say, and the peace of God, which surpass all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You know, well, as I'm reading this place, I just remember experiences I've had. After praying, there's this peace. You just have this peace. That's what this scripture is describing. Before you pray, you are, you know, what will happen? As soon as you put it before God, as soon as you leave the place, there's this confidence that just comes. I say, when they call you and say, how far? You say, don't worry. Everything is, God is in control. You say, don't worry. People are waiting for you to get perturbed. You say, don't worry. When the doctor told my wife that they are going to have, you know, operation on her. Listen, my wife looked at my face. She wanted to see anxiety. She didn't see it. Why? 3 months into her pregnancy, I saw what the doctor will say. Literally, I saw it. She came to me, she said in that revelation that she said they would do an operation for me. So I settled it 3 months. So when the doctor said it, I was not perturbed. He says, look at it, and the peace of God, after praying and making supplication, letting your request known unto God about everything, the next thing that follows is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Meaning, listen to me, there is no way man can be able to put analysis on the kind of confidence that follows when you pray, and shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Now, you now say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, meaning after you pray, don't allow distraction in your thought, because your thought can go as a signal to contradict what you have said in prayer. Say, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever is are true, things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, meaning testimony, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this thing. So when you pray, how you think affects the prayer of faith. So don't pray and start thinking otherwise. That's why the book of Mark, I think chapter 11 says, whatsoever a man believes in his heart, meaning aligning with his thought, If he says with his mouth, he will have it. Praise God. So, three things and three reasons why the devil wants to stop you from praying. Number one, God depends on your prayer to change the world. Number two, your prayer, the prayer of the righteous and the prayer of faith is the biggest threat to the kingdom of darkness. There's nothing the devil fears like that. And number three, because prayer is what brings you into fellowship with God. And the devil will do it. The way he interrupted the fellowship in the garden, he wants to interrupt any fellowship with God. He saw them, he see that God will come at the cool of the day and come fellowship with them. He came and lied to them so that God can stop coming. And he succeeded. Praise God. I want you to stand up and let's pray. Dansi kaprani enjo dalida. Rakaseta lekru mamush. Pray like a priest that the whole nation is depending upon. Like a priest that God and the people depends upon. Mantelignos kenderidus satena na. Laskibra katuse. Neglasena mingo fius katada. Legedebo sandea. Membo pusetete. Ligas kemin angos kopotos. Nanina sibarala. Misubi abiru si alau ribajati. Anamiru fijiru kaila. Amani u si jaula na alaya alakabi. Sijibu vijibu. Abirabu alauna sejajiru kadadaji. Amisaji. Madibu kadawali osedi alaukaya luizen. Manu minjibiji. Waudara bajuru kaya kaya laudami. Rebijibiji analami. The prayer of the righteous makes tremendous power available, cause things to happen. You are a priest in the place of prayer. Make things happen. We disappoint the devices of the crafty. We disappoint the plans of the wicked. The Bible says, gather yourself, all nations, all you people, associate yourself. And you shall be scattered. You will plan and your plan shall be thwarted. I want you to say after me, in the name of Jesus, we break the siege of deception over the nations of the world. Listen, lockdown is a deception. We break the siege. We break that siege. In the kosa kata kata la la doja. We effect a new day, a new season. We activate a new season over the nations of the world. We minister healing to the nations of the world. Ananji bikayu siba. Anna selikaya alaula miji biji amanu biji biru sebiri. You remember, in Jesus' name we pray. Job chapter 5 from verse 12. He says, God, he disappoints the devices, the tricks, their deception of the crafty, that they cannot perform their enterprise. He disappoints. Notice there's a lot of plan going on secretly. A lot of policies have been drafted to keep church the way it is now. How many of you know that there are people happy the way it is now, that church are not gathering together? They want it to want to keep it this way. But listen to me. He said, wherever two or three of you are gathered, there is, listen, when we gather, something happens. The devil sees that. He said, whatsoever you agree. Say, listen to me. He said, number one, he said, when you gather, I am there. And they say, no, you can worship from online. There's no problem. Listen to me. The Bible speaks about gathering.
gathering. There is power when believers come together. It's like five priests come together to determine. Three, like seven judges come together to decide over a nation. We break that siege. They will not perform. They cannot perform. They shall not perform their enterprise. They will fail. They will fail. They are failing. Sinteminos. Dankatina. Nekuska deshata. Brakanina. Ali Ramu. Mija alara alisa. Wakabim. Mijinunis. Anna. Anna. Leri virusi alara ali. In Jesus' name. We pray. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. We pray for everyone on the internet that is connecting with us, that you will reach them. We pray that as many believers all around the world that have been locked in their houses, that idleness will not destroy their prayer life. We pray for strength to pray over all believers all around the world, that there will be peace, that there will be honesty, that the power of God will have course all over the nations of the world. We release the power of God over us, over many people that are under the satanic influence of COVID-19. We deliver them. We decree and declare their healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, sweet Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. Celebrate Him.